You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Jim and Trent. We say hello to you on a Wednesday. And a terrific show lined up for you today. Coming up at 4:20, Chris Dobertin will be our guest. Bleacher Report, or SB Nation, rather, for Chris, and we'll do bracketology and college hoop with him. At 5 o'clock, Seth Gruen will be here, Bleacher Report, Big Ten Unfiltered. Zubin Mehente, ESPN, will be our guest at 5:20 as we take you all the way to 6 o'clock. Trent, how you hanging in there, pal?
Not too bad, Jimmy B. Busy night of basketball last night. I was out in Johnston calling a good doubleheader on the girls boys side of things, a top 10 battle on the girls side that went to overtime. So late night last night for me, got home and popped on the DVR and watched Iowa basketball respond, play well, play hard, play with passion and fervor. Good to see Jimmy B out of this group, because after Saturday you wondered what was left in the tank. They responded in a big way, and I think at least some kind of positive to take away for the moment. Now, we'll see what this turns into, but for a night, a cold night in January, Iowa basketball looked like the team we thought we were going to see all year long.
So now their Big Ten record is 2-7, and it's a nice home win. Look, Wisconsin's not Wisconsin that they have been in past years, not even close. This game was ripe for the picking, and Iowa took advantage of it. So I will give them terrific credit for seizing that moment over a lackluster team and doing exactly what they needed to do, Trent. They did not fall behind by 17 points in the first 10 minutes. They took the lead and then stomped on the gas pedal and ran away. And that's what they need to do. It's the type of team that is capable of doing that against a team that has the talent that Wisconsin has. Good win. For the type of game that it was, and you're absolutely right. Now we'll see how that translates, because their next couple of games, Trent, are winnable games. It's not like they're playing Purdue and Michigan State here.
No, not at all, and it starts even on Saturday. And, you know, we mentioned with Nebraska, you know, the Cornhuskers, if there's going to be a seventh team out of the Big Ten, I guess I'd probably put them right now as the odds-on favorite. They don't have a quality victory to their name right now, but the Big Ten is so down, it's probably going to take out of this group, maybe short of Maryland, a team going 12-6, maybe 11-7, and some damage in the Big Ten tournament. It still looks like four, but if I had to pick a team that I'd be picking for that fifth spot to get into the tournament, it's probably Nebraska. I was impressed by him on Monday night, even in a losing effort, going out to Ohio State, playing well in that game. It was a physical, tough basketball game. Nebraska's made some big improvements this year, but you know, for Iowa, absolutely. Yeah, Nebraska, even with all that being said, we're not talking about a world beater. Minnesota is an absolute dumpster fire right now. And then you get to Penn State, team that you just never could get over the hump with when you played them all the way back in the beginning of December. But Penn State, it's not a great environment. You're not worried about the crowd. We're not talking about an outstanding team. There's a chance here. We'll see. We will see with this team, and that remains the biggest question. But you go back and you look at last night, and the play of Luka Garza again. Early on, he was animated. He was into it. He had the most difficult matchup of anybody on the floor. He had an All-American he was going up against, an Ethan Happ. He acquitted himself very well. He was physical with him. He played the game plan to a T, and that's another part that's been missing from this Iowa team. Just the times where the game plan seems pretty simple and they're not able to execute. They were able to do it last night. Luka Garza, you know, we've been searching for a leader. And it's difficult, you know, unless you're a one-and-done kind of guy, a McDonald's All-American. It's difficult for a freshman to come in and be Carmelo Anthony and be that leader from the get-go. Luka Garza, though, seems to be the guy that we've seen continuing to play hard, had that lull there, what, about 10 games in during non-conference play that he wasn't playing his best basketball. But he's bounced back in a big way. And the way that he plays, the style that he brings, the physicality, and he likes to talk a little bit. Jimmy B, this team needs that. They need a guy out there that'll do a little bit of John and maybe throw an extra elbow in the ribs if need be, you know, when he's posted up. They need a guy like that, and that provides, again, we talk about that hope word with Iowa basketball. I think Luka Garza last night showed a little bit of hope. Maybe this is the guy that they've been searching for, not just as a player, but as a leader.
Mm-hmm. I think you got to have a guy who's a little bit of an instigator.
Sure.
And every team has to have that. And if you don't think college kids yak at each other on the court, you haven't been paying attention to college basketball. And I don't mind that, Trent. Look, they got to have something, because whatever they were drinking was doing them absolutely no good. And once again, we qualify this that they beat Wisconsin, a team that is about the same as Iowa. Not very good.
No.
But Iowa outperformed Wisconsin in a matchup of similar type teams and outperformed them very, very well throughout the entire game. So I'm going with you with the hope word, and I'm with you. They're going to have a stretch now where they can really swim or they can sink down to the bottom of the pool like a rock. And we'll just have to wait and see how this all plays out. And Nebraska's the first team up.
Also good to see Jordan Bohannon on a night where he wasn't shooting it very well from the outside. He was still able to make a big impact, not just the 11 assists that he had, but when he saw the three-pointer wasn't going down, he finished 1-6. You still saw him getting into the lane and using that runner. And it's something that I personally don't believe he uses enough. He's very good at that shot, you know, getting it off in traffic, stopping before he gets into the big guys and looping it up there. He did a nice job with that shot last night, did a number of different things. Ball movement was much crisper out of this team, a lot more ball movement. It didn't stick. It wasn't just waiting for a screen and then somebody's going to go with the screen and roll. They were moving the ball. They were sharing. They were playing well. They were playing like the team we expected. I thought Bohannon was a bright spot. And how about Isaiah Moss? You know, Isaiah Moss is a guy I believe is immensely talented on the offensive end. He still stinks on the defensive end. He gets lost way too often. But offensively, he has skills that they don't have on the roster, a guy that can get to the rim like he can shoot it from the outside. We've seen that throughout his career. But we've seen too many times throughout his career, when the shot's not falling early on, it's almost like he becomes disinterested. He went to the bucket, though, wasn't settling for a jump shot. But not only that, he was involved in other ways, and he had 4 assists in the game. He had 3 rebounds. He had 3 steals. Those are the things. He can't just be an offensive guy. They need more from him. I believe Isaiah Moss has a lot of talent. If they can find it, go back to, you know, the conversations we were having in October and November before the season, Jimmy B., I said if Iowa was going to take a step from just being a tournament team and be more than that, I thought it was going to be Isaiah Moss. Well, obviously, they've completely messed that benchmark. But there's something about the offensive game for Isaiah Moss. When it's going well, he's so much fun to watch. Now you get back to consistency, and he's a big part of that. Because, you know, Tyler Cook, you're going to get production out of him. If Tyler Cook, if he's not in foul trouble, he's going to get there. Bohannon's going to be able to score for you, and maybe Garza's now going into that role, a guy that you can count on. If you take it a step further, and you know night in and night out, you're going to get Isaiah Moss. Not a guy that's just going to shoot it from the outside, but do other things. Again, we're making those steps in those maturation process of this young team. Moss, a big component going forward.
I'm with you. And look, it was fun to watch last night. And it was one of those games where you thought, okay, they're playing really well right now. And then all of a sudden, Trent, they went about 5 minutes without making a basket.
Yep.
And so they still had that kind of dipsy-do in their offensive fluidity where they couldn't get anything to drop. But aside from that, they did what they were supposed to do, meaning Iowa, and they took care of business against Wisconsin. You think Wisconsin's coach Gard is under a little hot seat action right now?
You know, I've heard people talking that a little bit, and I know when he initially got the job, it was, first of all, the administration didn't want to just hand it to him. We saw Bo Ryan coach for a couple games at the beginning of the season, then resign, and they basically hand him the keys to the car. And what happened? They went on an incredible run in the back half of the year, finished in the top 4 again, and here we are. But in a rebuilding season, in a program that over the last 20 years expects greatness, not just to be solid, not just to be a tournament team, year in and year out, top 4 in the Big Ten, a step back like this I think is going to be hard to handle. I still would be surprised if they made a move after this season, but he's going to have a lot of pressure for him going into next season. There's going to be a lot of people that say, you have to deliver now. This is your program. You have to make a step forward after the step back this year.
I'm with you, and I think that that is going to be a tall task for him. He's got a team that is kind of similar to Iowa's from that standpoint, that they've got a couple of nice players, but not great players.
Right.
And in the past, Wisconsin had nice players and then a great player. And then when he had Comiskey and Decker, he had great players. So that makes the big difference right there. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Okay, so that was last night. Tonight, Drake is home, and Trent, they are playing for first place in the Valley Conference. Where are you on this game tonight with Drake?
Well, it's still incredible that we're here. It will be the halfway point of the MVC season, and they can go into the back half in first place, all alone in first place in this conference. And you look at the way that they've certainly put together this season. It was a roster that was already comprised of a bunch of guys. You got a senior class, of course, Reed Timmer at the forefront of that, but Graham Woodward and McMurray and Rivers and these guys, they've seen a lot of losses throughout the time. Aragunde, got to mention him, that kid. I just love what he's done this year. Playing power forward at times, you know, guarding guys 5, 6, 7 inches taller than him inside. But that senior class has been through a lot, went through now 3 coaches in less than a calendar year. But to buy into the system, to right away go out there, play for their new coach, it would have been very easy for them just kind of, here we go again, another lost season for them. But they're out there, they're competing, they're undersized, they're undermanned at times, but they don't care. They just go out there, they know what they're going to do. Yeah. They're going to be chucking up 3-pointers and playing that 4-guard lineup. And it's great to see. It's great to see for Drake, a program that outside of the blip in 2008 has been, over my lifetime, a laughingstock. And to bounce back in this season in the first year of the new MVC with no Wichita and Valpo coming in, but to be in this spot, I think says a lot, both about the kids and about Nico Medved. And maybe for once, Drake found the right guy. They got the right guy in there after the swings and misses with Mark Phelps and Jack Aletti throughout the years. Maybe Drake got this one right.
I hope that they have. And I just think that college basketball in Des Moines is a lot more fun if Drake is competitive. And that would be terrific for the city. And I hope people show up tonight.
Yeah.
You know, this, instead of just the 2,800 people that show up consistently because they're Drake alum or whatever, I hope they get 4,000 or 5,000 to this game tonight. This game is truly meaningful. Trent, how long has it been since we have said Drake is playing a meaningful game? Does it go all the way back to 2008?
I think it about has to. I mean, They've been bad year in and year out, and it's at the bottom. And, it might matter. Hey, if we win these couple of games, maybe we'll stay out of the Drake Invitational. There's been those kind of games, but a game that people look at and see the importance of it, the way that it falls in the schedule, playing for first place, all these different things at this point. No, we haven't seen anything like that, and going to be great to see. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to that. 7 o'clock tonight. Hey, basketball fans, Iowa's down this year. Even last night aside, it's a disappointing year. Iowa State, it's more than likely not going to happen this year. And you and I, it's been a huge disappointment themselves. If you're a basketball fan, if you haven't been to the Knapp Center in a while, tonight is the time to get out there, see some good basketball, give Reed Timmer a loud ovation, give the senior class a hand. They deserve it. They deserve a big crowd on hand tonight.
I agree. They are playing extremely hard. And if you haven't seen this team play, you don't have to worry about the shot clock when Drake has the basketball, because they're coming down and they're looking to take the first good available look that they get. And I like that philosophy. And they have guys who can shoot it from the outside. So this is going to be fun tonight. We'll be watching. You know that.
Yeah. I mean, And the thing that I was so impressed over the weekend when they beat Missouri State, you know, we talked a little bit. They completely shut down Alizé Johnson, who had 2 points in the game, the MVC preseason player of the year. And Alizé Johnson, by the way, only played 15 minutes. So they got throttled last night. Wonder what's happening down there with Paul Lusk, a former Hawkeye, coaching at Missouri State. But Drake didn't shoot it well on Saturday. They were 3 of 26 from 3, Jimmy B. Timmer was 2 of 10 from downtown. McMurray 0 for 2. Woodward 0 for 5. 3 of 26 as a team, and they still got out a victory. Again, I think that says a lot about this group, that it's not just, well, we hit 15 three-pointers and we won a game. In a game that they didn't shoot it well, they were able to dig in defensively and get the victory. I'm starting to believe, Jimmy B. And
okay,
we'll make some picks a little bit later in the show today. We'll pick the Drake Loyola game tonight. What do you say?
I like it. Let's go for it, and we'll do that just before we leave the air at 6 o'clock. Quick break right now. Chris Dobertine, however, is coming up. SB Nation, a little bracketology and college basketball talk with Chris right here. Jimmy B and TC. It's the Big Talker 1700.
The Kansas City Chiefs play here. 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700 KBGG. We made it. A new year upon us. A happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Sponsored by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is now filling Des Moines area positions. Dr. Pepper Snapple Group is hiring full-time merchandisers to provide high-quality merchandising support for Dr. Pepper Snapple Group brands to retail stores within an assigned territory. Apply online at dpsg.com/careers. That's dpsg.com/careers, or click the link on their website. Join the Dr. Pepper team and receive a $500 sign-on bonus. Wouldn't you like to be a Pepper too? Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, an equal opportunity employer.
As a bee emoji, there's nothing I love more than a strong shot of nectar. But getting behind the wheel when you're buzzed? That makes me want to sting. Drive sober and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email, so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Well, it's that time of year again. Tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Swing it a miss. Slam dunk.
Touchdown. Sports.
It's Jimmy B and TC.
Oh, yeah, the word you're looking for is wow.
Here's Jim and Trent.
We continue on. Take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Jimmy B and TC on 1700. Well, let's get into the buckets. College basketball talk right now with our good friend from bloggingthebracket.com, part of SB Nation. He is Chris Dobertin, and he joins us on the program today. Chris, what's happening?
Just getting to work on some bubble stuff for Friday. So we're about 6 weeks out. It's getting to be that very exciting time, but really wish things would just kind of settle down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we got lots of things to hit on here. Big 10, Big 12, MVC. As in our town tonight, Drake plays for first place in the Missouri Valley Conference. So we'll get into that. But want to start with last night. No, not going to take you down Iowa, Wisconsin. We know the Hawkeyes, they have a lot of work to do to get back into the bubble. No, I want to go to that 6 o'clock game from last night, Oklahoma going up against Kansas. And it felt like with the Kansas victory, they probably have the Big 12 almost locked up already for the 14th consecutive year. Oklahoma gets the win, but as you're watching last night, Chris, you see a change in Trae Young. After taking 39 shots, he takes 9 last night. Doesn't it feel like there's got to be some kind of happy medium with him, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. But I mean, I think a lot of the issue that you think about with that team is you go back to that parity game against Oklahoma State, where really, you know, he tried to do it all himself and he didn't get the supporting cast, you know, to give enough effort for them to, you know, push them over the top in that game. So we figured, well, let's see if we can do something a little bit different and, you know, try to get people more involved against Kansas. And really, to me, it really felt like it was Kansas's lack of foul shooting and some poor personnel choices of Bill Self, you know, down the stretch that really cost them more than anything that the Trae Young kind of did in terms of his assist to basket ratio. But it was very puzzling to just kind of see him just decide to just not make his own shot for about, you know, three quarters of that game.
Having a great conversation right now, Chris Dobertin, as we're talking a little college basketball and some bracketology stuff. All right, from what you have seen so far, do you have your first four already penciled in? And if so, are they the usual suspects?
I would say yes. I think that the first four right now are pretty clear. The one that really doesn't kind of fit the usual suspect group is Purdue, just because they just are really kind of setting the world on fire, which you don't really expect for a team out of the Big Ten, especially out of this Big Ten. But they're really kind of coasting on what they were able to do in non-conference more than anything else. And they really kind of have to kind of hold some teams off the rest of the way. But, you know, I kind of look at my top 8 and my top 12 right now as I put in my bracket post on Tuesday. The top 8 teams, 4 of them are from the ACC. There's going to be some fair amount of thinning out there. I think the only possibility is there's, you know, kind of a team like Virginia or North Carolina kind of hang in there along with Duke, take maybe that fourth number one spot. Maybe that's the league that could maybe take 2 teams and put them on the top line. I think between Kansas, West Virginia, and Oklahoma, I think one of those teams will probably get there, and it's probably going to be Kansas despite what happened last night. And Villanova, to me, Villanova looks pretty well set, just because I don't think really anybody else in the Big East really kind of compete with them right now. So yeah, I think it really looks like it's going to be Villanova, Kansas, Purdue, and then probably Duke, but maybe Virginia, North Carolina, depending on what happens in the ACC the rest of the way.
Chris has his latest bracket up at SB Nation. You can find it there, also bloggingthebracket.com. Chris, I want to go a little nuts and bolts here. Last year we heard conversation that it was going to be more metrics used. And we know committees, they change every year. The selection committee is going to be different, and the turnover that happens amongst it. But as we get into it, Ken Pom going to be used more? BPI, I think, is a different metric. Take us inside what we're going to see more, and not just the reliance on the RPI, but some of the other metrics that they're going to be using this season.
Well, this is what I'm going to be very interested to see, because, again, they're going to give us that sneak preview in mid-February of what's going on with the bracket and where their thoughts are in terms of the top 16. And last year, that gave us the really great clue about quality wins, because you saw teams like Butler and Florida State that had some very notable warts on their profiles, you know, were up in the 3 or 4 range because of the quality wins they had. We've kind of been basing what we've been doing on that. But, you know, over the past week, we've gotten word that, you know, they're going to be using KenPom and BPI and SAGarin and everything else. So the question is, you know, are we going to be able to see that right off the bat, you know, in mid-February when they make that announcement? And also, the other side of that to me is, are they going to just kind of take those numbers, all those different numbers, those 4 or 5 metrics, and kind of average them together? Is that what they're going to be doing, or are they going to be a little bit more in-depth with it and try to go a little bit more inside, or are they just going to take the easy way out? And I'm really curious to see what happens in a couple of weeks, you know, when we finally get that answer.
You know, it's interesting to me because you've got a very difficult conference in the Big 12, a kind of down Big 10, a kind of down Pac-12, yet you still have to get 60. You still got to get 68 teams. So are there going to be teams that get in with real suspect records?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And then you also kind of look at the way the different metrics are kind of treating the conferences. So you take a look at the Big Ten right now. And the Big Ten, highest team in the RPI right now is Purdue. Michigan State, you know, this is the team that I'm really the most interested to see what happens. Because Michigan State, I see, you know, I think Lenardi has them as like a 2. I think Jerry Palm has them. A lot of people have them kind of up in the 2 or 3 range. But going based on last year with quality wins being so important, they have one Group 1 win. That's it. I think they have 3 Group 1 and Group 2 wins. And to me, that's not going to compare with the other teams that are going to be in a hunt for those 1 and 2 seeds. But you look at the metrics, and you go back and you look at KenPom, for example, and Michigan State, who's 27th in RPI, is 5th in KenPom. So if they're going to rely on more metrics, maybe you're going to see a team like Michigan State, you know, get that bump and be a little bit higher than they would be based on their results, just because the committee is kind of taking the metric side of things this year as opposed to the quality wins tactic that they did last year.
All right, I want to go to the ACC with a little bit for you here. Year after year, certainly one of the top conferences. Kind of a muddled picture after Virginia and Duke at the top there. I want to start with Virginia. You mentioned kind of what they've done, and you go through and you look at the resume that they put together. The Rhode Island win, very nice victory. Neutral court victory, those are every good. But you get into conference play, they beat North Carolina at home, and then it's just a whole lot of blah, at least to me. Now, they're going to get a chance Saturday as they go to Cameron Indoor to take on the Dukies. But Virginia, it feels to me like people are falling in love with the 19-1 record more than maybe the merits of what they've done to get it through those 20 games and 19 wins.
Exactly. And it's a similar situation for them because the schedule really favors them, especially if you're talking about getting the top two in the ACC tournament, because they only play North Carolina and Duke once apiece. So right there, from a schedule perspective, they're a little bit down. Also, their schedule's a little bit backloaded. They're going to get a few more quality win chances later on. But right now, they only have 3 top-tier, you know, Group 1 wins. And you look at, you know, what Duke has. Duke is kind of in a little bit better position with 4, but they're also going to have a, you know, a backloaded schedule because they play North Carolina twice still. But neither one of those compares to UNC, who, even though they, you know, struggled, they're 5-3. They played more of those games already. They won 1 more than Duke and 2 more than Virginia. But the thing with Virginia you have to remember is, you know, they play that very particular style, and that works to a certain point, but you're going to get into the tournament you're going to get in that round of 32, and if you get past that in the round of 16, and teams aren't going to really necessarily want to play that slowdown. They're going to try to speed Virginia up, trying to make them make mistakes, and a lot of the times that works, and that knocks the Cavaliers out, you know, a little bit earlier than they probably should be based on what they did during the regular season. But ACC teams seem to be more than willing to just kind of just fall into that trap and let them kind of run the game, kind of like what happened with Clemson last night.
I'm real curious, out west where Jock Landale put on a terrific show at Gonzaga and St. Mary's beat the Zags in Spokane. Does that solidify St. Mary's in, or do they have to beat Gonzaga again to make sure that they get in because their non-conference schedule was so bad?
Yeah, that's the thing. Their RPI right now is still only around 40. Their non-conference schedule, as you said, was not great at all. I mean, they had, you know, their two big opportunities were out in the Wynn Legacy, and they end up losing both those games. They end up losing to Washington State, which is now turning out to be a pretty bad loss. They lost to Georgia, which, you know, granted, Georgia will probably be in the tournament, but that's still not very helpful. You know, their non-conference schedule right now was 190 out of 351, so that's not very helpful. But I think from the perspective of proving that they're still that they're in that top group, I think that winning at Gonzaga will really help them. But the league right now is set up where they really can't, you know, they can't really afford slipping up in one of those games against teams that's not named Gonzaga or BYU, because that's going to be potentially devastating to their chances for at-large this late, even with that great win.
All right, let's jump here locally to the Missouri Valley Conference. It's going to be a one-bid league this year. You'd have to figure maybe Loyola, if they'd win out from here to the championship game, maybe they could put together. But even with that, you know, their RPI at 61 now, and there's so many teams that probably going to drag them down a bit throughout the MVC. They get Drake tonight, though. The Bulldogs, a surprise, certainly of the conference, what they've been able to do. What a story this is. And I know when teams are in first place in the conference, you put them in your brackets. You bumped Loyola back in and Drake out with your latest bracket since they're tied at the top here. But just the MVC as a whole, I think better in year number one with Wichita than a lot of people anticipated.
Yeah, I really think so. I think that, you know, not only has Loyola Chicago been a really nice surprise, Nico Medved has really gotten things going at Drake a lot more quickly than people, you know, had anticipated, because that program was really just nowhere close to being competitive last year. Indiana State has been better, has been improved, even though they really could have done a little bit better in non-conference and kind of gotten past that 8-10 record they have now, but they kind of picked things up in league. You have Bradley and Missouri State and Illinois State all in the top 100, which are going to help things a little bit. Northern Iowa, of course, being a major disappointment. And, of course, we're talking about, you know, the team that replaced Wichita State, which is Valpo, and they have the lowest RPI right now in the league at 158. But that's a great sign that everybody in the league except for Valpo is in the top 150 at this point, which is going to help everybody. And maybe not knock Loyola out, you know, should they keep winning and perhaps get trapped up somewhere in Arch Madness.
Interesting the way that you set this up. Right now, is Nico Medved the coach of the year in the Valley, in your estimation?
Yeah, I absolutely think that he has to be it, because, like I said, this was a team that nobody expected to be anything close to a first division team going into the season.
All right, to the Big Ten. We know four teams feel good, and everybody else has got a lot of work to do. I said earlier today, Chris, if there's going to be that fifth team, if I had to, you know, put money down on somebody, it'd probably be Nebraska. Again, a team that'll have a lot of work, but they look good at times. I was impressed with them, maybe in a losing effort against Ohio State, more than I had been for most of the season. Who's your pick? If there's going to be somebody that comes with the run, did enough in the non-conference to not hurt themselves, would it be the Cornhuskers, or do you got somebody else you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think it probably would be the Cornhuskers. Maryland was kind of the other team I was looking at, but, wow, they don't even have a top. I mean, Nebraska doesn't have a top Group 1 win right now. Maryland doesn't either. Their best win, which is against Butler, has fallen off into Group 2. Yeah. It was a home game. They just have absolutely nothing on their profile. The thing that worries me a little bit about Nebraska But again, this kind of goes with pretty much everybody in this league right now, is what wins are left that are really going to help them. You know, one, what's out there, it looks like they probably have to beat, this is tough. They get Maryland at home, which is going to be, that's probably going to be group two win. That's not going to be a top 30 home game for them. And Indiana, everybody else is still, you know, outside of the top 100. So it's going to be even very difficult for them to really kind of make a push late. I mean, the bottom of the Big Ten, and really the middle of the Big Ten even, is not helpful for anybody's bubble case.
I brought that up. I brought up the schedule as you were talking there, Chris. This is what Nebraska has left the remaining of the season. Tonight, yeah, They're at Rutgers. They're home over the weekend for the Hawkeyes. At Wisconsin, at Minnesota, Rutgers, Maryland at home, at Illinois, Indiana, Penn State. They don't play anybody good the rest of the way. We're still talking a whole half of a conference schedule, and they don't play anybody worth a damn.
No. No, and I love it. I'm looking at Warren Nolan's predicted results right now, and he has them going 8-10 in the Big Ten against that remaining schedule.
That might not be good for Coach Miles. I struggle with Nebraska and people talking about, oh, Miles doesn't get it done this year, he's going to be fired. And they haven't won an NCAA tournament game ever. We're not talking about Nebraska football here.
No.
It seems like maybe he took them to a tournament. Are the expectations a little bit of out of whack?
Yeah, I really think they are. And I think that, you know, kind of moving into the Big Ten, you know, there was kind of that expectations that they might improve a little bit because, you know, the Big 8 and the Big 12 were just so basketball-focused. You know, having Kansas and having Missouri and having Iowa State, you know, kind of right nearby. But it actually seems like things have just gotten worse in the Big Ten because there are so many other teams that you have to climb over. If you dig yourself a hole and end up, you know, being the 11th to 12th best program in a conference, it's very hard to kind of get back up in that first division when you have, you know, still two other teams behind you and a bunch of other teams that are kind of in that middle. It's very difficult to kind of separate yourself.
You know, when you sit back and you look and you watch, I don't know, I don't know how many the three of us watch college basketball, how many games that we pay attention to. I know it's hundreds throughout the course of the season. Do you ever, at least in your mind, when you start to make out your brackets, I'm just curious, how often do you second-guess yourself on certain teams? Does that happen, or are you pretty well set, okay, this team is a 5, this team is a 12, or do you second-guess yourself a lot?
That pretty much describes the process for seed lines 5 through 11 at least. Because really, I mean, that's really where things get, especially when you're still kind of 6-7 weeks out, that's where things are really still kind of messy. And you're still really trying to guess and trying to project a little bit based on kind of what team schedules look like the rest of the way. Because it's really hard to make, you know, sense of a team like Wichita State, for example, which I have as a 6 seed right now, who looked like, you know, going the preseason, everybody kind of thought they were going to be a 1 or a 2. And my thought was kind of like, well, no, let's see kind of how they compete in the American. It's going to be a big change for them. They haven't, you know, they haven't played defense as well. They've kind of struggled with the change in the new conference, with the new travel schedule and all that sort of stuff. You know, but you kind of compare them with a team like Michigan State, and then you compare them with Rhode Island, and you compare them to a team with flaws in their profile like Texas A&M or Arkansas, and it's very difficult to really kind of figure out which warts on which profile are going to be that important or particularly important to that year's committee, if that kind of makes sense to you. And that's really kind of what it is, because when you get into 5, 6, 7, all the way down to 11, you're getting into those teams that have a lot of those flaws, and it's trying to just kind of figure out which ones are better and which ones are worse.
Chris Dobertine, he joins us here, bloggingthebracket.com. Always good stuff, Chris. We will be talking a lot here. College basketball in full swing. Who you got tonight, Drake or Loyola, back in your home state of Illinois?
I think Loyola is going to... Loyola, they've got the offense. They're a really good outside shooting team. I think that that's going to really carry them tonight.
There it is. Thanks for your time today, Chris. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, bloggingthebracket.com. Put that in your bookmark there on your computer. Put that in your favorites on your phone. You're going to be using it a lot here over the next 6 weeks leading in to Selection Sunday. Speaking of that, Ken earlier today brought up a really good point. With the Big Ten tournament being early this year, moved up a week earlier since they're playing in Madison Square Garden, those first games, the 11-14 game and the other matchup, the 12-13 game, those will be played on February 28th. That still looks like Iowa's probably going to be in one of those two games. Iowa's season could be done even before March if they lose in the opening round.
Wow. Don't even play in March. Whoa, man. Oh, they'll really be, it'll be pitchforks and torches in Iowa City, just like the old Frankenstein movies. I'm telling you, man, oh, man, if they don't even play a game in March, wow. Wow, I did not realize that. That's a great point on Ken's part.
Yeah, February 28th is when it begins.
Wow.
I think that's a realistic goal, though, for this Iowa team now, kind of going forward. Stay away from that opening round. Get up to 10th in the conference. And because there are so many bad teams, you got Illinois still without a win. Rutgers, it's hard to envision them, you know, winning six games in the conference. Minnesota, who knows what's going to happen with them. The Badgers.
Yeah, really.
I mean, they were bad last night. Northwestern has struggled. You go on and on and on. I think that's a realistic goal. Can you find four, maybe five wins the rest of the way for the Hawkeyes? I think you can. You get the Gophers twice. There's a start. You get Northwestern at the end. You got Nebraska, Penn State this weekend.
Don't you have Penn State?
I still wouldn't bet on it, but I think that's a realistic goal to strive for here with the disappointment. But more than anything, play with the same passion that we saw last night out of the Hawks.
I agree. Look, they played hard, and they played with a purpose, and we hadn't seen that. Particularly in that Purdue game. And so from that standpoint, yes, that's the kind of basketball. Look, they're not going anywhere. We all know that. But if at least you could get some of that in the next three or four games, Trent, they have a legitimate chance to win those games. They are not playing powerhouse teams. And they are not going to be outmanned. All those teams that they're playing are similar to what they are, kind of in Nowheresville. And they are winnable games, whether if it's on the road or on home court. No one that they have coming up should be overpowering them like we have seen in this last couple of games, except for last night.
Well, Jim, we're due for a break. We'll come back on the other side. Put a cap on our number one, and you can join us here at 515-264-1700 or get a hold of us on Twitter at Jimmy B Radio for Brinson and at Trent Condon for me. We'll be back here in just a moment on Jimmy B and TC.
Afternoons, we talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey guys, this is Nate Adams. You want to know where to go for the best Valentine's Day gifts this year? Go to Christopher's Fine Jewelry. It's a tradition for the men in the Adams family to visit Christopher's because we trust their friendly, down-to-earth staff. No big sales pressure. They're happy to answer your questions and take the stress out of Valentine's Day shopping. Stop by Christopher's today at 3427 Merle Hay Road and tell them the Adams family sent you.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus. And online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. A bad cold and flu season is upon us. The main difference between them is the flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by more than 70 clinical studies.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Get an 11% rebate on all Delta faucets. The liquid bath faucet is only $88.11 after rebate. The overlying kitchen faucet turns on and off by touching the spout or handle. It's $283.02 after rebate. Stop waiting and start saving with an 11% rebate on everything now at Menards. Good through January 27th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones too, like flashing your pearly whites with buy one, get one 25% off oral care. Time for a selfie or stocking up on pick-me-ups. Get a free $5 gift card when you spend $15 on all yogurt, like Chobani and Dannon. And soak up some vitamin C with Navel oranges on sale $4.99 for an 8-pound bag. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
In honor of the extra most bestest with the most cheese and the most pepperoni, we hired the most spokespeople.
Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest has the most cheese and the most pepperoni for the nation's best price. Just $6. So don't go anywhere else.
Claim of most cheese and most pepperoni at the nation's best price is based on comparison of Little Caesars Extra Most Bestest Pizza and the other three national pizza chains' large round standard menu one-topping pepperoni pizza sold at everyday menu prices at participating locations plus tax.
Pizza, pizza.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
1700 KBGG is your home for high school sports. Trek out it here. Join me Tuesdays with Tip-Off Tuesdays and Fridays on Fast Break Fridays here on 1700 KBGG. Play-by-play action with girls, boys, doubleheaders, and high school wrestling taking the airwaves during these cold winter months. It all culminates with the state wrestling tournament from Wells Fargo Arena, along with the girls and boys state basketball tournaments. Your home for high school sports in Central Iowa. 1700 KBGG.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. The Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Visit their showroom at 6050 North East 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Trent, Jim back with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. We're here until 6 o'clock. Let's get out to the phone lines right now. 515-264-1700. You can join us. We got Eric on the line with us here today. What's going on, Eric?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. What's happening?
Well, I just thought it was pretty interesting. I was looking up the Chris Street, you know, because we were talking about that last week. And I looked at his the year he died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a little quiz for you, too, if you'll allow me.
Okay.
The season that Chris Street died, they went 21-8. They started the season 10-0. Apparently, Iowa State and you and I were down that year because Iowa beat them approximately by 20 points a game. They lost to Duke in the Big Ten schedule. They lost to Duke, but went 2-5 to ranked teams. I want to ask you guys what you think Iowa what seed they got in the tournament.
Well, I know this one well. I have this one like the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. Let's see if Jimmy B remembers, though. We'll put him on the spot. Brinson, what seed did the Hawkeyes get in 1993?
What did they get in 1993?
Yes, the year that Chris Street passed away, they still made the tournament.
Yes.
They went into the tournament. They were 22-8 going into tournament play.
Right, okay.
11-7 in the Big Ten.
They got a 9 seed.
That's incorrect. They were a 4 seed. Do I got it, Eric? A 4 seed that year?
You're right. They were a 4 seed. They won the first round. They lost the second round to Wake Forest, I believe.
Rodney Rogers went off in that game.
Oh, Rodney Rogers.
Man.
Yes. Dominated AC Earl, sitting in my dad's living room watching that one. And, well, that was one of many swearings in the second round of the NCAA tournament I had.
But can I ask you guys, do you think that conference records were way more prominent back then as opposed to now? Because I would have thought the same thing, 9 seed at best.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a 4.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that year they didn't play. They played Duke, as you mentioned, but they didn't have an overly great non-conference schedule, if I remember correctly. They got off to a great start that year. They were ranked in the top 10, as they, I think they were 9-10-0 at the beginning of the year. But they didn't beat anybody, Jimmy B. And that was another one of the downfalls. This is something that is sometimes missed, and appreciate the phone call there, Eric. This is sometimes missed when people talk about the end of the Dr. Tom Davis era, is back then, Jim, you knew it. You were a power conference team, and you won 20 games. You're in the tournament, right?
I mean, That's correct.
It was a benchmark, and if you hit that, you were automatically in the bracket for the most part in the 64-team era. That started to change, though, more and more his last few seasons, and he had a couple of NIT years where in the past they would have been a tournament team, but as they looked at RPI more, they used some different things that they were measuring teams. It wasn't good enough to be a game over 500, 2 games above 500 in conference play and win 20, they started to look a little bit deeper in beating the Mississippi Valley States of the world, beating the Eastern Michigans of the world. That wasn't good enough anymore, and that was another one of the problems. And I remember Bob Bowlesby, that's something that he talked about as well when they decided not to renew the contract to Dr. Tom, was scheduling in the non-conference. He wasn't willing to adapt and change in a changing environment in college basketball, another reason that he was let go.
Well, look, now you have a similar predicament with Fran McCaffrey. And it seems like every season you take a look at their non-conference schedule and you start yelling and screaming on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame you. And I don't blame you for the non-conference yelling and screaming this time around too, Trent. I mean, I don't know why they're continuing to follow that particular playbook. Do you?
Well, I think there's a couple of different reasons for it. Cost, I think, is a big part of it here. The thing that Fran McCaffrey at least has now is they have the ACC Big Ten Challenge every year. That game is in there. Exempt tournaments are a bigger part. That wasn't the case back in the 90s. You'd be able to go once every 4 years. Now you can play an exempt tournament every single season. So that's a big difference compared to what it was back then. They also have the Gava games with the Big East, though Iowa didn't have one this year. That'll be back on the schedule. So it is different, but when you're playing the bottom teams, you got to play better. You can't play 6 bottom 300 teams for the Hawkeyes. It doesn't matter. 5 o'clock hour is next here on Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to keep good records. We can help. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines. Bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax reporting, as well as income taxes. Everything you need to be successful in running your business. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. You do what you do best and let us do the rest. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services located in West Des Moines.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Sponsored by CeCe's. Now at CeCe's, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, included with your buffet. Just five and change at CeCe's. Dine-in only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
At the Home Depot, free carpet installation means free carpet installation. And free includes clearing out furniture, ripping out old carpet, hauling it away, even carpeting stairs with no hidden fees. Free installation on carpet $699 or more means free installation. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately.
Your home for UNI basketball is right here, 1700 KBGG.
It's stolen away. McLeod's got it for UNI. Juwan for Brown. He'll throw it inside to Pick. He laid it up and in.
Catch every Panther basketball game home and away on 1700 KBGG with a call from Gary Rima. And the head coach for the Panthers, Ben Jacobson, joins Jimmy B and TC each Monday at 5:15. Presented by Washer Systems of Iowa. Your home for the Panthers, 1700 KBGG.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways,